Blog Talk Radio.
This is Haunted America with your hosts, Josh Mantello and Al Shepard on Blog Talk Radio. To discuss today's topics, call 646-716-5896. And now, Haunted America with Josh Mantello and Al Shepard.
And hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Haunted America Radio. My name's Al Shepard. My co-host Josh has had some personal issues he had to sort through, so he hasn't been able to be with us, but I'm sure he'll be back real soon. So I get to do the show by myself, which usually isn't a problem when I have a bunch of guests. Tonight's guest is going to be psychic and medium criminal profiler Robbie Thomas, and anyone that's been around the paranormal world at all lately has heard that name, and can't wait to get him on here, but he's not coming on until 8 o'clock. So which means the first hour is where I try to stumble through and just sit here and talk to myself for an hour, which usually doesn't work too good. We did that once before, and it, at least from my standpoint, listening back at it, seemed like a disaster. So if you've got anything you'd like to talk about, any subjects, things that pop into your mind you want to discuss, then definitely jump in here. Give me a call, 646-716-5896, or jump in the chat room, one or the other. And we'll see if we can get a discussion going for the next hour until Robbie gets here without this being too incredibly boring. I always like to go back to some clips from other shows when I have an evening like this where I've got time to waste. So seeing as my co-host Josh can't be here, I think we'll pull up a couple clips of his thoughts on various things. These are a few clips from the paranormal documentary 14 Degrees, done by Michael Baker, who was a guest on this show way back when we started. If you haven't seen that movie, I definitely recommend you go grab it. Do a search for 14 Degrees movie. And let's play one clip here.
Different investigators work better with certain people. Everybody has their own technique. I personally sometimes like to taunt, and try and get the spirits going. Some people aren't comfortable doing that, so obviously I'm not going to work with somebody like that. So you're gonna know who works best with each other and what their particular skill is. If I'm really good at EVP, I'm also not going to pair up with somebody else who's really good at EVP. I might be somebody who's more of a photographic expert. So, you're mix and match who works well with what, whose techniques best pair with somebody else. Sometimes maybe I'll take somebody who's more scientific approach and put them with somebody who might douse and be a little bit more psychic-like. And we'll go from there.
And as you can see, Josh said he likes to taunt spirits when he doesn't get the response he's looking for. And so I guess I'd like to ask you, what do you think? Is taunting a good idea or not? I'm kind of up in the air on the subject myself. I know usually with the living, if you want to get a response out of somebody, just piss them off, and you'll probably, might not be the response you want, but you'll get something. But in the field of the paranormal where you're looking for any response at all, is that a good way to do it? Or, as some suggest, is it disrespectful? You know, if you wouldn't talk to a living person that way, then why would you talk to a spirit that way? So if you got any thoughts on that, you can type them in the chat room or give a call in here and we'll talk about it. While we're waiting on that, I'll fire up another clip here from Josh in the 14 Degrees movie and see what you think on this.
We tend to try and use evidence that has other evidence to back it up. You know, for orbs, for instance, we generally, if we have just a single orb or even a lot of orbs, which is, you know, pretty indicative of dust, if we just have one orb and that's the only thing in the picture and there's the only occurrence at that time, we probably will end up debunking it. We're not really passing it off as solid evidence. We like to be able to say, not only was there an orb in the picture at this time, but there was a personal experience taking place. There was EMF fluctuation. We captured an EVP in the room at the relative same time as the orb. In other words, we're not just relying on one piece of evidence. If we have two or three things happening at the same time, then we're more apt to really say this is paranormal opposed to just something that is naturally occurring.
And again, what's your thoughts on orbs? Do they constitute spirits? Are they just dust? Are they refractions of light? What's your thoughts? So, once again, type your responses in the chat room or give a call, 646-716-5896. And I believe it's number one you press, I think, to raise up your little hand and wave to me and say, hey, I want to talk. So anyways, for those just joining us, and looks like we had a few in the chat room, and then they just went right back out again. So let's go to one more here. This is Josh, once again, from the 14 Degrees movie.
There was one machine that was going to point the ghost out to you and take its picture and have a conversation with it. Well, then that's what the piece of equipment we would bring. But there is no magical machine yet, and we don't really know what we're looking for and how to find it. So we're using what equipment is available for us in this day and age to try and find what's unknown.
So, there's no magical machine. Everybody's trying everything. On the show that was on a couple of weeks back, I saw a, what they called, I believe it was a parabot, a paranormal robot, which is supposedly able to detect spirits, run up to them, and capture them in a plexiglass box all by themselves. So, and I don't think it quite worked the way they wanted to, but they said that they caught 8 ghosts that night. So, who am I to dispute that? Anyways, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll have Robbie Thomas, and I'll actually have someone to talk to. So the whole show won't be as boring as this one, I guarantee it. And I want to thank White Noise Radio for popping in the chat room there. And if anybody here has got something they'd like to discuss, definitely give a call, 646-716-5896, and save me from sitting here talking for the next 50 minutes all by myself, which anyone who's hosted a show before knows how hard that is. That's why we have co-hosts. So anyways, I'm going to move on to a little more recaps from some past shows here. We've got... let's see, we've got, what do I got here? Oh, I got a band that I ran across. The band's name is the Blue Pages. But they were at a concert here locally, and I was running the sound and lights that night, and we got talking about paranormal. And they were very interested in it. So I told them about a place not too far from here called the Hoosick Tunnel. So they... packed up their stuff after they got done playing, like 1 o'clock in the morning, headed down to the Hoosick Tunnel to explore. And you can tell by as fast as this guy talks that this subject's got him a little excited.
All right, this is Al. I'm here with a band called the Blue Pages, who, let's see, your name is James?
Yes.
All right, now it's about what, a month ago or so, you guys came up here and played in Bennington. And after the show, you went down to the Hoosick Tunnel, right? So it was about
correct.
Midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning?
We got there at about 1 a.m.
All right. So you got to tell me what happened when you got there.
So we get up there, and the weird thing is, like, because, you know, you drive down a big hill to get to the Hoosick Tunnel.
Yeah.
And the first thing you notice is, like, you see, like, you don't see any foxes anywhere, like, on the road, anywhere around, like, you know, the city or whatever. But then right when you go down the specific hill, there's, like, tons of foxes just running around like crazy. And they're, so you drive down, and there's, like, you walk on, and right when you get down, there's, like, tons of fireflies also everywhere.
Right.
But you can see this little black, the light shuts off, like, right where, like, in 20 feet past that is where the Hoosick Tunnel is. And you can't even see the thing, and you have to walk down the train tracks. So we get off, and
now you're on the Florida Mass side, right?
Yeah, the Florida Mass. So we stop off to get out there. And first, like, nobody would go with me, so I just started walking by myself, and I was like, screw this, this is so freaky. So I went back there and got my drummer and our merch guy to come with us. So they came with us. And we started walking up, and all of a sudden, because I read a lot of online blogs about it, and, like, it's pretty rare for a train to pass by, you know? And,
yeah.
Like, but all of a sudden, like, there's no lights or nothing. We just see a light down in the tunnel. And first of all, I was like, what is that? And finally, you start to hear it, and a train starts coming. So, like, I hadn't even got close to the thing yet, but, like, the train goes by, it passes by, which is pretty weird itself. So we start to walk up there, we're walking up there, and it's, like, it's crazy because, like, you know, in a lot of Asian cultures, like, foxes are the way of the spiritual world a lot of the times, you know? They're like really mythical creatures, and there's like they're running around everywhere, like they're running by you and stuff. And there's tons of fireflies. So you start to walk up, and right when all of a sudden the trees start to cover, and you can't see the moon anymore, everything stops right there. The light stops. You can't see anything past that. No fireflies past that. They're all sitting there, and then they just stop right there where that light is. And you walk past the light, and all of a sudden, just like all you hear is like the electricity from the tunnel going off.
Yeah.
And so we start walking up there, and we're like 10 feet away, and like the guys behind me stop, and we're kind of like arguing about like, come on, let's keep going. And we get up there, and like, and all of a sudden the train starts to lights start going off again. So the train's coming, the light's going off, it's blinking, going ding ding ding, super loud. The lights are going off everywhere, and we wait. There's no train coming. There's no train in sight. It's still like we're sitting there. We wait for like a good like 15 minutes.
This is like what, 1 o'clock in the morning?
By this time it's like 1:30
a.m.
We're sitting there waiting for the train, and it's just nothing comes. Nothing ever comes. So then we're sitting arguing with like, all right, screw this. Let's turn around. So we turn around to go back, and right when we turn around, we say, all right, we're done with this. We're going back. Exactly right when that happens, the lights, just where the lights were going off, the sound stops. Everything stops right when we start walking back, like in that instance. And there's a guy sitting in the tracks underneath this light. There's one light in the place. It's just down, it's about, I'd say 30 yards down, kind of close to where we parked the car. And there's a guy just standing there staring at us. And we're like, what is going on here? We're kind of freaking out because we're like, I don't know if this is like just some guy who has a gun, who has something like, you know, we're like,
yeah, because this at that end of the tunnel is kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's an older man. And he's just sitting there. This is like between 1:30 and 2 a.m. You know, when this is going on. So it's like, you know, if a man's out here, why is he? And this is a Thursday night. It was a Thursday night. So it's
yeah.
Like, what is a man doing out here at a Thursday night? And we weren't being, you know, like loud or anything. We were super quiet. So it's like, and we weren't even. I wasn't even like had a flashlight, so nobody could have seen it. You know, I mean, I had one with me, but I wasn't shining it. You know. And like, and so we're like, what is this man doing out here? And so he's just staring at us, and we're stopped, and we're staring at him. So we start to walk towards him, and as we walk towards him, he's still looking at us, but backing up. He doesn't turn to back up or make any signals. He's just hands down by his side, staring at us, moving backwards. And we're just like, holy crap. And like, so I start to move to the right because I'm trying to get towards the woods in case, like, you know, it's a real person, then I can like run through the woods or something, or like, I don't know, you know. And so like, as I move to the right, he's still moving at, like, looking at us, and moving to the opposite side, moving to the left, just moving backwards. And there's an electrical unit right there, those big gray ones, and he just walks behind that and disappears into the woods. And we didn't see like anything after that. And like, so we get back there, and the weirdest part was our singer and bass player were still in the car, and they had one of the windows was down, and they were staring where the light was. They said they did not see a guy standing there at all. They didn't hear any sound, and the sound was super loud. You know, it's like, and the light was so loud, it was so flashing, it's like you can't miss it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, they didn't hear or see anything. And so we were just like, oh, we gotta get out of here. And so we just like hauled ass out of there.
Welcome to the haunted Hoosier Tunnel.
We actually went back there another time, and it was like, it was sort of misty when we got out. Same thing, lots of foxes just by the Hoosier Tunnel, and like lots of fireflies again. They stop at the light, so we get out and start walking again. And right when we get to the black part where the light cuts off again, and like, all you can hear is the electrical unit. All of a sudden, like a storm just flies in right there, and it's like lightning striking everywhere, just like saying, "Hey, don't come in here." You know, so we're like, especially all electrical unit and stuff, because you can't, like, once you get to that point, like, you can't hear anything anymore, except for, like, it sounds like people are walking around you.
That's a freaky place.
And there's like little rocks, and it seems like eyes are looking at you everywhere, and it's like super freaky. So like, right when the lightning started going off, we turned around again. So we haven't even been able to go in. Every time we've gone there, it's like, as soon as we get to that point, it's like something happens. It says, can't come in here.
It's crazy. From what I remember, it's like 128 people died in that tunnel.
And a little less than 200 died since then.
It's crazy. So, all right, I appreciate you telling your story.
I hope I wasn't mumbling too much.
No, not at all.
Nah, he wasn't mumbling much. That guy was, he was excited. He talked for another half an hour off the air. So I want to thank everyone who's popped into the chat room and everyone listening in on the phone. I am killing time because our guest doesn't get here till 8 o'clock, but I can't wait. Robbie Thomas, definitely going to be worth the wait. What have I been doing all day waiting for this? Let's see. Instead of preparing for this show like I should have been, I've been working on another show. I also do two more shows, actually. I do a history show called Let's Talk History, and plays on a local AM station here. And then a good friend of mine, country singer, songwriter, and I have started a country music show for independent artists, the ones that normally don't get heard on the radio. So we started a pretty good show for that, which I just got an email this morning. Looks like we're going to go global. So we've only done one show, and they were so impressed with it that they want us to push it worldwide. So that's what I've been working on all day, was lining up music for that, getting it laid out, getting the next episode and everything. So I got to excuse me for not being as fully prepared as I should be tonight, but that's why I always have all these clips around. To cover my butt. So, if there's anything in particular you want to discuss, throw a question up in the chat room or give a call, 646-716-5896. And I think it's pressed a little one, raise your little hand, it'll wave at me, and we'll see what kind of stories we can get going here. A few weeks back, I had Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters International on here. That was a lot of fun. And we got a couple little clips here of him saying a few things, so we'll fire them up here and just give us something to listen to.
Anybody who's out there claiming that they know everything there is to know, and that they're the expert in this, that, and the other, they're just taking people for their money, or they're just got really problems with delusions and grandeur.
That has been our argument all along. Josh and I get into this little argument going on. Is it possible to be a professional, to be a specialist in the paranormal field? Josh seems to say yes, and his field of study, he's an expert in spirit photography. My argument is there are no experts in the paranormal field. Time will tell whether his expertise in spirit photography is well-founded. He'll either be known down the road as an expert or a kook. because we don't know what road to travel down at this point. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. All we know is we're trying what we think is the right path, which may turn out to be totally going in the wrong direction, as time will tell. Jay in the chat room says he's wrong, that he does know everything. Well, that sounds like a teenager that I have here. Anyways, I say there are no experts in a field where you don't know what's right and what's wrong yet. Everybody's, and that's the beauty of this field, because anybody can dive in here. You don't need a bunch of schooling. You don't need, all you need is an idea and some interest and say, gee, I wonder if this'll work, and go try it. And you might just stumble on the next big thing, the thing to actually prove the existence of spirits, or you might not. So, to me, I've heard about everything here with the Frank's box and the obelisk and all kinds of things here, and none of them have thoroughly convinced me of anything. Same way with most EVPs. Most of those are very subjective. Matrixing, you know, if you listen to it long enough, you can make it into about whatever you want it to say, except a very few crystal clear Class A EVPs. Most things just don't excite me at all here. I had a little experiment that I did. I was going to throw up the clip here, but it looks like it's missing out of my file list. I tried to upload it again, and it told me it can't because it's already there. So I'd like to know where it is. Okay, let's go another little clip from Dustin here.
I've heard recordings of things where UV light was all of a sudden thrown on, and you hear like this high-pitched, like a screaming sound, almost as if there's something that is adverse about the light that seems to be shining onto these things.
So there's another little thing to think about, to ponder. If spirits are energy, do these different light sources, infrared, UV, do they react to these things? Like Dustin just said, UV light, and they actually caught a scream on an EVP like it was hurting them. Someone had that... I can't remember if it was infrared or UV, but they turned one or the other on, and a psychic told them that the spirit was cowering in the corner. So, getting back to what we just said, we don't know what's right or what's wrong. Are some of these things that we're trying, some of these things that we're using, actually wind up being detrimental to what we're trying to accomplish? So, let's see. In the chat room here, White Noise Radio, a very obnoxious UK radio host. Well, if you're a radio host, then you need to get in here and bail me out. Oh, anyways. Got about another half hour, and Robbie Thomas will be here. He's well-known for his work with law enforcement, one of the few psychics that law enforcement will actually post testimonials on, one of the few psychics that actually has their blessing. His website is just filled with testimonials from law enforcement. Let me just run down a little bit of his bio here. Robbie Thomas does what other crime psychics stop short of and what the victims of crime praise. Featured in magazines, radio, television, and film, Robbie Thomas has become among the most sought-after psychics today. Robbie has been called a true psychic bloodhound who goes straight for the throat of injustice through his passion and talents to see and feel from both criminals and victims alike. His accuracy has found him in the firing line many times while helping to assist in cases involving dangerous individuals and organizations. Few psychic profilers can claim as many written testimonials as Robbie Thomas. Now, Robbie starred in the critically acclaimed hit movie Dead Whisper, where first time ever evidence of direct communication with the other side was caught on film, and EVP with a psychic medium. Critics worldwide have raved about this astounding breakthrough and have declared Dead Whisper a classic. So do a search on the net for the movie Dead Whisper. Robbie Thomas has given to many what most would call the spiritual experience of their lives. Connecting to the other side, and I keep losing my place. Connecting to the other side, bringing messages of hope and encouragement throughout diverse experience. 16 years of helping with murder and missing persons cases, bringing resolution to families. 10 years of online and personal sessions, and 3 years working on many prominent programs in television, radio, and print is what Robbie's committed to. Through the eyes of spirit each week, Robbie reaches out on a syndicated worldwide radio show, A Link to Heaven Radio, taking calls from people from around the globe, offering them a warm embrace and a word from spirit. That's Robbie Thomas. He'll be coming up at the top of the hour in about, 33 minutes. And this has been a long half hour already, and the next one's going to be even longer. I can see that already. Okay, let's see. I got another few little clips here. There's another little medley of some things Dustin had to say. Actually, no. I didn't hear what he said. No, this is his intro music when I had him on. I've already got a file name, Dustin Intro. So many files in here, I don't even know them all. Well, that was interesting.
Dude, run!
Yeah, right. All right. Let's take a break for a second here while I catch my thoughts.
Hello, this is 911. What is your emergency?
Hello, 911. You've got to help me. There's a ghost in my trailer.
Excuse me, ma'am?
There's a ghost in my trailer. He's a flipping and a flopping and a flying all over.
Ma'am, please calm down. Ghosts do not haunt mobile homes.
Yes, they do. I saw it on hard copy.
Okay, what is the ghost doing?
He turned the lights on and off, and then he knocked on the door.
Are you sure it's not the power company?
No, he's right here on the couch eating Cheetos.
Okay, what does the ghost look like?
He's invisible. I can only see the orange stuff around his fingers and his mouth.
Sound familiar? This scenario happens every day at trailer parks across America. Experts estimate that one out of every six mobile homes is haunted by a ghost or perhaps a possum. You could be next. Here are some telltale signs. A can of skull mysteriously floats through the air. Blood drips out of your simulated wood paneling. The room is spinning and you're not even drunk yet. If you think your trailer may have an unwanted guest, please call Trailer Exterminators. We specialize in mobile home ghost removal as well as the extermination of aliens, secret government bugs, and in-laws. Don't call 911. Call us now.
Trailer Exterminators, may I help you?
Yeah, the government has built a tiny robotic inchworm that has infiltrated my compound in an attempt to steal my secret corn squeezing recipe.
Don't worry, sir. We'll be right over.
Oh, but hurry, because they're about to unleash a giant bat.
Don't delay. Call now. Double Wise X.
Venmo Cards offers an online system that allows you to log in from anywhere in the world, type a message, and click the send button. The company then actually prints a physical greeting card in your handwriting with your signature and mails it to your recipient in the mailbox.
All for under $1. You can even add a gift
and have it sent along with your greeting card. It's easy, it's quick, and it's something anybody can do. You can become a customer of Sendout Cards, but you may also select our entrepreneur option, which gives you the ability to participate in our compensation plan and create a residual side income stream for yourself and your family, all while working part-time around your already busy schedule. Sendout Cards isn't your average company. It was founded with a specific mission in mind.
You know, Sendout Cards is all about acting on promptings. It's why this whole business started. It's the whole mission, it's the whole cause, it's the crusade that all of us are on, is to help millions of people act on their promptings every day, reaching out in kindness to others. The challenge to promptings are is they come into your mind and they leave your mind about as fast as they come in. You don't have a whole lot of time to act on them. So that's the beauty of Sendout Cards, is it provides you a way that when the prompting comes to reach out in kindness, a thank you, I appreciate you, I care about you, job well done, anything like that, you can quickly act. And you can celebrate the life of the person you're sending that message to.
As a company, Sendout Cards is privately held, debt-free, and has virtually no competition. The company was also recently featured in Success From Home magazine. At Sendout Cards, you do three things. First, you gather a few customers. Second, you find those who are also interested in the second income stream. And finally, help other people do the exact same thing. That's it. By doing those three simple things, you can create a significant side income stream for yourself and your family.
Once we went onto a gift account and really experienced the magic and send in a card, that was it.
Okay, look, send cards and teach others how to send cards. That's it.
When I realized this compensation plan and that there was some serious money on the table, that's when I left my job, my six-figure corporate job, to take this business full-time from day one.
I just view this as there's no one that shouldn't at least know this exists. And personally, I think there's no one that shouldn't be using it.
Ask yourself these two questions. Can you think of anyone that could use a service like Sendout Cards? Do you know anyone that could use some extra money? Well, if the answer to either of those two questions is yes, then I have great news for you. You can do this business. Try out a free gift account. And you can actually send out a few cards yourself.
This is Al Shepard, and I've been using Sendout Cards for a while now. It's a great way to work from home, make some extra income, and a great way to put the law of attraction to work in your life every day. You owe it to yourself. Go to www.teamshepard.com or give me a call, 516-422-5379.
Hi, for those of you who have just tuned in, everyone here is a crazy person. You know, I think there may be a valuable lesson for you gals here about inviting strange men into your bedrooms.
And now, Haunted America with Josh Mantello and Al Shepard.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road. Help me out here.
And speaking of strange men in your bedroom, is this the obnoxious radio host?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah, it's Jay, yeah. I'm not too bad, thanks. I just thought it was really bad timing where you got some Jay jingle on and then you put me on the air.
You never know what you're going to find around here. I'll get you when you're not looking. Oh. So what is, I appreciate you calling in, bailing me out here, so at least I got someone to speak to for the next few minutes here. What's new in the UK?
What's new personally for me? I've just been spending the day working on a book that I've got to have in, a paranormal book with a publisher by the end of February, which I've got to get my butt in gear with. Apart from that, I'm not really sure, not a lot. I don't sort of keep up, if you like, with the paranormal news and the things that's going on, just for a bit of a rant, I think there's far too much kind of politics and backbiting and everything, especially over here. So I just now concentrate mainly on research and especially into, I kind of specialize, if you like. I'm not an expert by any means. I've heard what you've been saying and I agree with that. I don't think any of us can be an expert, especially when we don't know what we're dealing with. But I suppose I concentrate on researching old cases and looking back on them and maybe bringing them back to the public's attention. Cases that are maybe lost in the past, like the Epworth Poltergeist, that was sort of the 1700s. It's the most documented poltergeist case in history. You had the Wesley Diaries and things like that, because it involved the Wesley family who founded, I'm going to forget what it is, Methodist Church. And it was surrounded their family and their home and things like that. And obviously, being a few hundred years ago, people don't hear about it nowadays. So I suppose that's kind of what I do now.
So does this book have a name yet? So we know what to look for when it comes out?
I've been commissioned, I don't know if your listeners would be too interested, this year I've got, because this year I've been commissioned to do two books by the History Press over here in the UK, but they're kind of, they've commissioned me to do two local books, if you like, and one of them is in a series they do called Haunted, and they'll have different areas, and this one's Haunted Scunthorpe, which is a town in North Lincolnshire, so I suppose unless you're from that area, you're maybe not going to be that interested. And the one that I've got that's coming out also later this year is called Paranormal Essex, which may be a bit more interesting because it's a larger county and it doesn't just focus on ghosts and things like that. It's also going to have UFO stuff and it's going to have things about the witch trials in Chelmsford. I know you guys have got Salem over there. We had the Essex witch trials over here with the Witchfinder General Matthew Watkins. It was the same kind of thing. It was obviously a big part of our history. So you're going to have more sort of larger cases involved with the Essex one, because of the fact of the area that I'm going to be covering with it.
Yeah, well, me personally, I'm interested in haunted and hauntings and stories from anywhere. I don't care where they're at. I just like to hear about them. And my great grandfather, actually, they came from Shropshire. If you know where that is. Yeah. I don't, but it's over there by you somewhere.
Yeah, it's you must be. They must have had a few pounds then, because that's where posh people tend to live. People with money.
Well, they must have lost. They must have spent it all on the boat over here then, because they didn't have squat when they got over here, I don't think. I believe it had another name back then too. I want to say it's Salome or Salop, is that what it was? S-A-L-O-P, I think. Well,
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I was just looking through census records from like the 1880s, and it came up either or. So, I figure I must have some relatives hiding over there somewhere, but I've never been able to hook up with them. So, maybe in the next life. So,
that's such a thing.
I was going to ask you something, and then I got off on a different subject and forgot.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, being an expert, I just feel that, you know, in this field, nobody knows what's right or wrong. So I think it's premature to declare someone an expert. Yeah, you might be a specialist in a particular thing, but we don't even know if that thing has anything to do with paranormal or not. So, you know.
No, I think that clip that you played pretty much summed it up, because that's kind of my view on it as well. It annoys me. Because our show, White Noise Paranormal Radio, it's also on Blog Talk, is pretty much like what you do. It's an interview-based thing. It's myself and my co-host, Kelly. She's from Australia. And all we do is we try and get people on like yourself, and our idea was to try and get people on perhaps that listeners and the fans wouldn't normally have access to, just because of the fact that through my written work, because I've written for Fate over there in America and Paranormal Magazine, Ghost Voices, a lot of the magazines over here, I sort of was lucky enough to get in contact with some of the larger names, if you like. And so we just thought, well, we'll bring them to the people and let them ask the questions they want to know through the chat, through text and email and things like that. And so I've asked a lot of them the questions, like what that the statement you made or the clip you played earlier, because that's annoyed me. I think when people go around saying, oh, it's a cold spot or the EMF readings and things like that, and I thought, well, because I'm pretty skeptical myself anyway, I think, well, if who come up with that theory? Where's the proof that a cold spot has anything to do with a ghost if it does exist? Where's the proof for the theory that they manifest themselves through this electromagnetic energy or whatever? There isn't even any proof for the theory, let alone what goes on after that.
Yeah, but then on the flip side of the coin, that's what's great about this field, because anyone can come up with a theory. Then it's up to them to, it's up to someone to prove it, of course. And that's basically what this field is right now, is all theory. It's 100% theory. Probably the closest thing we have to knowing what works is probably EVPs. But other than that, I don't think any other aspect of the paranormal has, at least in my mind, hasn't come up with enough proof yet to prove to me that something works or something doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, though, with the thing with EVPs as well, and I'm going to admit I'll always err on the skeptical side, because to me the paranormal is more about, because I come from a writing background, it's more about the stories and stuff. I'm not even too bothered if I hold my hand up if any of it's true. I just love the stories. So, but being skeptical myself, like things with EVP, you've still got, even if you put aside blatant fraud and things like that, you've still got infrasound and things like that that you've got to try and rule out, and pareidolia, things like that. So there's always going to be conjecture with everything, really, isn't there?
Exactly. There's another one that just went in my head and right back out again. What the heck?
It's probably me going off.
When I first decided to start this show, I went around listening to some other shows on Blog Talk, and I ran across one night, and all it was for an hour was this one paranormal group running this other group into the ground, and you know, our way is right and their way is wrong, and they're idiots and blah 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 blah, and I'm like, man, I don't want my show to sound like that, because when I started the show, you know, most shows have what I would consider, or what they consider, let's put it that way, two experts in the field chatting back and forth about a particular topic, blah, blah, blah. When I started the show, all I had was an interest in the paranormal. I'd never been an investigator, never done anything. And what I did is I got my local expert on the phone, and I said, hey, want to do a radio show? And I figured by him being the one with some knowledge, who's been in a paranormal group for 5 years, and me being someone that wants to learn, I figured I'd be more apt to sit here and ask the stupid questions that everybody wants to know about, instead of just two experts talking over everybody's head about things that nobody could understand. So if I... if I ask dumb questions or something, then you'll have to excuse me for that, because that's a little hard when you do this show and the resident so-called expert is the one that can't show up to the show. So
I know where you're coming from. We've had it before, because Kelly's to and from Australia all the time. I mean, her connection sometimes with the internet over there is a bit third world, if you like. So sometimes I've had to try and carry it myself, which isn't always good listening. But no, I mean, like our show was the, I don't proclaim to be an expert. I mean, if I've looked into an old case or something, I can regurgitate what's been found, yeah, what it's about and things that I've looked into. But as I say, that's why I used to investigate to an extent, and I've kind of stepped back from that. It's easier, I find, to research and stuff, and that way I don't have to say I'm an expert on things. There's things I've written about now that you could ask me about Just off the top of my head, if you said, oh, something I'll tell us about Amityville, I can't. I know it was in the 70s, but off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact year. I can remember vague things about it, but it's like anything. You can work on something, and I haven't been back to that case for years. So off the top of my head, I can't remember. I'd have to look back into it. You can't hold that much information unless you've got some sort of mega memory about everything. So I think, yeah, it is impossible to be an expert. And plus, you're under sort of pressure in these conditions. And I know from the investigations that I've done, I've walked away and gone, damn, I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have done this and that and the other. So it's also a lot of the time split-second decision. So it doesn't matter how expert you are or how experienced you are, you're going to walk away maybe thinking you wish you'd done this experiment, you wish you'd have done this differently. You can't be bang on all the time anyway.
Yeah, I know when I went on my first investigation a couple months ago, actually my daughter and I were both there, and walking around the dark in this three-story mansion, and all of a sudden we heard this woman scream very loud. And my daughter went booking down the stairs, and I actually headed up the stairs. And I was very proud of myself that was the first time I'd been in that situation, and I didn't know what I would do, but I was actually running toward the sound instead of away from it. And I said, well, that's probably a good sign, because if I was running down the stairs, then I probably ought to stop doing the radio show. But comes to find out, the woman was outdoors anyways. It was a real woman. So, but it was a good test.
Well, it is, yeah. And as you say, it's probably, if you're trying to find out what's going on, it's probably better to run towards it rather than away from it. Yeah, definitely. But I think the main thing is, it's maybe not irrelevant how you carry the investigation out, but I think a lot of people have got to take the main things into consideration, especially, and I don't like the word one bit, but I can't offer a different word, but I know a lot of people go the client's house and the client's this, and I think it's such a horrible word, but I wouldn't be able to think of a better one to use off the top of my head. But you've got to remember, you're dealing with people's houses. People have got to live there after you've been and gone, and regardless of whether there is sort of anything there or not, there's I think people get caught up in the fact that, oh, we're going on a ghost hunt or investigation, whatever you want to call it, and they don't take into account maybe sometimes the real dangers, which are that you're in somebody's private property, that you don't know what you're walking into, and a lot of the people as well that call groups in don't know what they're going to get. You don't know who's coming in your house. It doesn't matter if you talk to them a couple of times on the phone or something like that, or even you don't know these people, really. You don't know who you're letting in. They could be anybody who have any intentions. There's a hell of a lot more to it than just grabbing some gear and going around somebody's house. And even if it's you and your group and you're the nicest people in the world and you've been police checked and everything, you don't know what you're walking into. You could walk away from that investigation and get a knock on the door from the police because someone's alleged that you've done this, that or the other. I think the normal, not the paranormal, is the dangerous part of investigating people's houses.
That was interesting. I don't know if I'm on or I'm not on. Can anybody hear me? The power went off here at my house, and so of course the computer had to reboot, and then when it did reboot, none of my USB ports worked, which of course my phone and my headset are both plugged into. So let's see here. Let's see, let me type in the chat room here and see if anybody's hearing me. I'm still waiting for my switchboard to come up on the screen, so I can't see anything. I'm just talking. Don't know if anybody's hearing me or not. So not quite sure what's going on here. Well, somebody hit a power pole here or what? Made all the power just poof, gone. It's awful hard to do a show with no power. So, I don't know if anybody's hearing anything. I don't know where my guest is. I can't see the switchboard. I can't tell if anybody's on the phone. Ah, there's my switchboard. All right. I see somebody with their hand up here. Who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Is this Robbie?
Is this sometime Blog Talk Radio?
sometime you're on,
sometime you're not?
Yeah, this is definitely. But this one wasn't Blog Talk's fault. I was just sitting here, and the power went out. It was like somebody must have hit a pole or something. It went out for just a couple seconds, just enough to make the computer reboot. And then when the computer came back up, none of my USB ports worked, which, of course, my microphone's plugged into it, my Magic Jack telephone's plugged into it, so I had to reboot a second time. So that's it. One of these nights here, that's for sure. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yes, definitely. All right, people in the chat room said no, they still can't hear anything. So I don't know if we're going out.
Oh, I can
over
hear.
The air.
I had you up. I could hear you.
Okay. All righty. Anyways, I gave you this great introduction about a half an hour ago because I was spending a whole hour here talking to myself and didn't know what else to say. But anyways, let's hear it from you. Anyways, why don't you tell us about you?
Oh, I'm just your average Joe who's been trying to get on the sometime Blog Talk radio show. And is it Blog Top or Blog Talk? And we're having our little thing tonight, aren't we? No, that was good. I'm glad we got back on. It's only like, 15 minutes into the show. I am an author, an ex-radio host. I do film, television. I have a new television series that's coming out very shortly. In fact, one of the producers in Las Vegas as of right now meeting with head corporate people for different – are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. It looks like
I just turned – just when you're talking, I turned my mic off so
background
interrupts you, that's all.
No, that's fine. Yeah, he's in Las Vegas, and we're doing some high-level meetings right now, and certain stations and networks are peeking at this. It was a show that was supposed to come out of Australia a long time ago, and what happened was the psychics in Australia, the police would not back them, and I heard part of the show earlier where you were stating how I have all the endorsements from the police from North America, which I do, and they back me. I work with them, and they're right up front saying so. So, you know, in family statements, you know, and the latest one was Victoria Stafford's case, and you take a look at the family statement that's there. They didn't have any backing, so it got shelved. And so here we are. We finally reconditioned it, revamped, and done it a little bit better. It's a little bit, I would say, more compact, a little bit more decisive in what's supposed to be done. And we shot the pilot. We're getting ready to. We have a whole 2 years of episodes ready to go. Very intriguing because we're going to come out of the gate with four or five already solved, which no show's ever done. And we'll have them all up, and people can see them. You'll see the families validating everything. You'll see the police validating everything. It's going to be something else. We're there for the families. It's an unconditional togetherness. And trying to make awareness and betterment for the environment of all our community or our social aspect of people in our communities so that we can look and say, look, you know, let's get that block parent thing going on again. Let's get the awareness of everybody in our neighborhood knowing what child is where and, you know, what family lives where. And we're going to try to, you know, beat this thing of these monsters that are out there. We're on tour, and we're starting that in March. We're kicking it off in Canada. And we're going to hit all of North America, a total of about 40, between 40 and 50 cities, which is really good, all over the United States and Canada. We're bringing that awareness, and it's dedicated to the victims of crime and their families. That's what we're doing right now. We're really making way and doing this very strong.
Well, that's a subject that's kind of I've had kicking around in my head for a while. I think I showed you that website that I built that hadn't really gone anywhere, but I've always thought that you know, people with your gifts could be so useful to missing persons and solving unsolved crimes and things like that. But there was always this stigma or something, you know, where the law enforcement officer probably loses credibility if he admitted it. And I'm really glad to see that the day has finally come where you're a legitimate tool that they can use in their arsenal, and I just love it.
Oh, you know, there are those that are being used, absolutely. It was like last week. Well, this is Sunday, a new week starts, but this week here that just passed, you know, five cases went across my desk, and I got called from as far as England to here. And when one detective called me up, they said, you know, we used psychics in the past. What has really boiled down to was they wasted our time, wasted taxpayers' money, hurt the family, and led nothing to nowhere, and we're tired of it. You know, and there are people out there, like I've been in office with these detectives, and I see these things that get faxed in or phone calls come in, and they have to look at them and read them because every fact or every lead they got to look at and try to follow it up. And nowadays, everybody thinks they're psychic. You know, and I don't like that term, psychic, but, you know, you have to have an identification marker. And that's what really hurts the premise of people who, like Detective Wynn, who called me. This poor lady, she's chopped up in pieces, and she's all over in every different park in the city. And so now they want someone to help them out. You know, it's a very sad case, and I feel sorry for the family. Working very, you know, hard. I sent out a whole bunch of information already. And you got to wait till they go divulge through all this, and they got to go and piece it together. You know, you look at that, and the aspect of I've been on cases where, again, so-called psychics have led the police on a wild goose chase, wasted so much money, so much time and effort and family hope, it's no good. So, yeah, do they kind of shy away from that? Absolutely they do. But then again, you look at the endorsements I got that are coming through, and they're continually coming through, which is good. So that shows that there are some people who are really genuine.
Yeah, I hate to see. I know in every field there's probably bad apples that ruin it for everybody. But I'm glad to see that they're actually coming to you and using your gifts. I'll just sit here thinking while you're talking. Maybe we could just... You don't like psychic. Maybe we could just invent a new term. Seeing as you're one of the few that people can count on, then maybe you need a title all your own, you know, like spiritual criminologist or spiritual profiler or something like that, you know?
No, you know, that's funny. I always say, you know, my mother, when I was born, she gave me a name. My name's Robbie. And then I remember, oh, many years ago, being on a show, and a person said, well, how do we know what you are? And I said, well, I'm a child of God, just like everybody. And, well, we can't call you that. And, you know, I'm thinking, what's wrong with that, really? You know what I mean? Where is this thing of ego that you got to put a title onto somebody? You know, you don't need it. I just do what I do. And when people get to know who I am, the phone don't stop ringing. They call up, you know, we need your ability. So just being able to have the ability to ascertain something from spirit or the universe and be able to give some information. As far as a title, you know, I don't know. Maybe someday somebody will come up with something. I don't know. You know, it's like people running around in the paranormal field calling themselves experts. You know, I got a diploma from this and I got a diploma from that. Like, who made them? Who in the hell gave them a frickin' diploma in the first place?
Boy, you're hitting a sore spot with me. I go through that argument every single show. How can you be an expert in a field where nobody knows what's right or wrong? And that just boils down to it. But I see what you're saying about titles. I mean, everyday people don't run around, oh, who's this? Well, this is Banker Tom, or this is Mechanic Phil. So it's like, why does someone in your field need a title?
Yeah.
You know, I see what you're saying, you know.
Exactly.
With that said, I'll just let everyone know that I'm speaking with Robbie Thomas, who helps law enforcement with missing and unsolved cases, and I won't put a title to you. I'll leave it at that.
That's good. I hate to pull out my phony diplomas. there's an old saying, you know, and it's really funny, and I have to say this, and I know people write me every time I say it, but it's the truth. And when the truth hurts, you know, continue writing me, because I know you're watching me. I know you're listening to me. The Vatican's in crisis, and there's 1 million demonologists out there, and they've just found the last two boogeymen, the tax man and the real boogeyman. Now they're out of work and they're on the unemployment line. You know, I look at that because they go online, they get these diplomas, they think they're the Vatican hasn't sworn them in. The Vatican, you know, is where people would really look at, or the head of the church, to find somebody who's a true demonologist. You know, not this breakaway religion type thing where, you know, I'm going to sanction myself as this and give myself a diploma. I don't get this, where these people swear themselves in or ordain themselves. I have no clue. And people, please don't buy the freaking snake oil they're selling.
Well, my first thought is, if we've determined that there's no experts in the field, then who's the one giving the diplomas? There's, I mean, there's no one actually qualified to teach something, to give a diploma for, because we don't know what's right and what's wrong. So
well, that's just it, you know. I know, it's funny, you know, it's so hilarious. It's amazing. You know, you get all these guys on TV, and they're doing their TV shows and stuff and what have you. And, you know, I've turned down many TV shows for many years. And finally something came up good that is for the families, family-oriented only, so to make awareness and to bring that compassion. You know, you have, I don't know, gobs and gobs of these ghost shows coming out. And I remember sitting in the vice president's office of A&E with Aileen Fontaine and sitting there and listening to, she was watching Dead Whisper. And she says, the phone rings, she says, call me back. And she'd never seen anything where there was direct communication before. And she says, we don't have anything like that here. And I'm talking to her. And then, you know, I'm looking at this stuff at people, how they phony things up, and they do that. And I'm just thinking, this is unbelievable. You know, there's so many people running around, and everybody's a skeptic, and everybody's a critic. But you know what? They haven't proven anything whatsoever other than running around trying to tarnish people's names, and all they look like is a fool doing it. And yet the phone still doesn't ring in the real people's offices.
Yeah, I don't watch any of those shows because I haven't seen one yet that answers any of my questions. The two people that I was really interested in when I first got into paranormal here was one, Sarah Estep, who wrote Voices of Eternity. And she didn't go around and investigate haunted houses or anything. I mean, she went into her office for 10 minutes in the morning, turned on a tape recorder, and just asked questions. And at night, she'd go in for 10 minutes and do it again. And she did this for over 20 years, and according to her book, was carrying on regular conversations with people who had already passed over in heaven and were telling her what heaven was like, what it looks like, what goes on there day to day. And that's the stuff that interests me, not who's haunting a particular house. Same way with Dr. George Meeks with his Spiricon machine. I don't know just how much of that is real and how much isn't, but he was coming up with the same answers that she was, like that there's a group of scientists in heaven called Time Stream who are actually working on a device, building a device on that side to try to connect with us back here, and someday it might happen. And it's things like that interests me. I want to know what's on the other side when I get there, you know. This running around and investigating haunted houses and listening to these guys where they'll sit there and they'll go, make a noise, and then they'll hear a noise. Oh, was that you? Well, make another noise. Oh, was that you too? Well, make another noise. It's like, all right, you got their attention. Ask them some questions. Let's get some answers, you know? And I don't see that thing happening anywhere, and it just bores me to tears.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. You know, entertainment is entertainment, and we have to rationalize what is, you know, real and what's entertainment. Of course, you know the show 48 Hours where the cops are going out. They show a dead guy in the street. Well, he's really dead. And they go and solve the crime to get the criminal. Well, that's real. A form of entertainment, yeah, because it's on TV. But these ghost shows that are out there are just strictly entertainment, really. The amount of evidence they get on every show, that's literally impossible. You know, I know the fellas who are on some of the shows and stuff, some things that they phonied up and faked up just to make it viable, a program. That's how it is, and, you know, it's amazing because I don't know. I haven't seen anything yet other than where I went and filmed and literally seen, and it all happened. It was caught on film, which was great. Still skeptic about it, and then we go back and look at everything, and I'm looking at the producers, and I'll say, that can't be, and it is, so it's real. But some of the stuff that I've seen that's on TV is just, like, totally out there. It's really out there, and it's got everybody brainwashed.
It's kind of like the WWE of paranormal, I guess. maybe they ought to get Vince McMahon to manage all these shows or something. But what I would like to see is, like you were just saying, a 2020, you know? Okay, they come up to a body. There's a body laying on the street. Well, now, let's get the do I want to say psychic or whatever, but let's get someone with those abilities to get in there, and let's see if the spirit's still hanging around. Interview the spirit. Can the spirit give you any leads? Can they tell you who did it? I mean, let's put these two together with some real-life important subjects instead of just this frivolous stuff where, you know, oh, I smelled some roses in my house. It must be haunted. Let's call them in, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, like I said before, there was a show coming out of Australia called Psychic Justice, and what happened, again, the psychics there weren't backed, and so what happened, they shelved the show. One of the producers is in America now, and we shot the pilot for the new show that's coming on, which the other producers who are in Las Vegas right now, meeting as of yesterday, today, and final meetings are tomorrow and Tuesday, with the major corporation networks who are vying for the show, is exactly what you're saying. We are going to show in the beginning how these other cases were solved with the police, and some of them will be reenacted, but you're going to see exactly how they were solved, how the diagram showed where the bodies were, and how we channeled them in, and working with incredible people that are aboard doing this. It just took a little bit to get this show to be viable. Other than that, you know, that's real. And to show that, we have a high-profile case of a little girl, which the family made a statement, put on our web pages, and gave us permission. The father's speaking at some of the engagements I'm taking across Canada here to make awareness for Kilos for Kids, which is Child Find. And he's going to speak about my involvement in the case, my drawings, and what have you, and I'm going to get up and show them. And so that's a very viable program, showing exactly how it does work. You got results. You have the results. You know, when we criminally profiled two people, well, the two people are in jail. You know, and all it showed on film was a woman leading the girl away from the school. So, you know, that's viable results. You see that. But walking into a place going creak, and you hear the creak, and you go, ooh, that's something. But it's the floor, and the floor settles. In any home, you get pops, cracks, and creaks. You know, it's amazing. But, yeah, there's a difference between having a viable show that's real versus entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing against entertainment. But, I mean, hey, I do a country music show besides this one. But, but it's nice to see a show that actually accomplishes something. And And that's, you know, I put that website together a while back to try to bring law enforcement and psychics together, and it never really took off. But that was my purpose, was let's put this to good use. Yeah, it's great that, you know, you can get on Blog Talk and do a show and do readings and make people feel good and all that stuff. But I'd like to see these things put to better use. And I'm just so happy that you're out there doing that for people. I don't know how many, you know, unsolved mystery type shows I've watched, and there's never any closure. You know, here's the mystery, but 10 years later, they're still running the same shows and repeats, and you don't know if anything ever came of it or not. I would say probably America's Most Wanted is probably one of the few shows where you actually get to see where things have actually happened, and you know, good things have come about from the show. So I can't wait for your show to come out.
Yeah, you know, the one case there, the Victoria Stafford case, John Walsh had that case on America's Most Wanted. So I was just very happy that I worked with the family and the detectives. And, you know, I'm sad at the fact that we couldn't get Victoria. That's what kills me. You know, there's two times in my career I found people alive, and I got a letter from a major broadcast company thanking me for it. And just recently I found a lady's husband. She's going to, when I kick off my tour, she's going to be right on stage. I'm reenacting the whole thing, how I drew the diagrams and told her where he was, the RCMP, their letter to her saying that, you know, no, we can't give you the death certificate because it's a matter of privacy. He's alive. So, you know, I pinpointed exactly where he was. So that's all going to be put on there. And we're also going to film that for one episode of the show. So people see it's credible, and they see it's real, and they see it's being done. You know, that's what it's about. You know, people want to see things like that. Now, I think that the market itself is so saturated and so engulfed with all these different ghost shows, and, you know, not just ghost shows, but, you know, psychic shows out there, too. I've seen them where they go, David, I know David is here, but there was no proof that David was there. They just talk about David being there. And, you know, want to see some credible evidence of something being solved. Either you solve it or you don't. You just, you know, you got to have that straight up answer. And I think people would appreciate that more if you were on TV and you said, I could only go so far, and this is the amount of evidence I could give. I can't give any more, but we can see that it ties into the case, but I'm strapped. I'm sorry. You know, I think people would appreciate that more. You would be able to show that you led so far rather than, you know, gimmick it up or, you know, leading them the wrong way.
Exactly. And I'm hoping, I mean, when you talk of all the big names supposedly in the paranormal field, and I can't, you know, I want to see yours at the top because you're doing something useful. I would like to see the day where you're so well known that the minute someone goes missing, they pick up the phone and they call you while there's still time to, you know, before something happens and before it's too late. And I just, you know, pray that that day comes sooner rather than later. And I hope, I think your tour and your show are probably going to help that along considerably, especially with the testimonials that you have behind you. I don't think I've been to a website to see as many testimonials, especially from law enforcement, as you've got on yours.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. When you get to touch and, you know, talk to these police officers and, you know, they talk to you, it's a bond. And when you're real and you're truthful and you help them out, they got nothing to hide. And so when people say, you know, I work with police, but they won't back me up and I just don't have no testimonial, well, then how do people find you credible? You know, that's what people look for, is the credential, the credibility. And I just never seem to have had the problem. And if I don't have the problem, then I know other people shouldn't have the problem. I just don't get it. I know there are a few people who are backed by police, and they will vouch for them, which is good. Because then, you know, it leads that families will see this, and families will call up and who need help. And you can say, yeah, I'll give you a hand. It may not be today, but, you know, we'll find the guy who murdered your daughter, but I need a week because I'm working on something else. But at least they're calling. And it's amazing. That's all I can say. I'm just flabbergasted because now, you know, you have the U.S. Marshals office who say they got a whole cabinet full for me. So, you know, I'm hooking up with them now. I got a whole homicide squad in Florida who have been contacting me. It just goes on and on and on.
It's been happening to me all night. Every time something comes into my head, and then it floats right back out again. Any idea when the show's going to be actually hit the air or anything, or is it still in the beginning stages? Or
no, it's like the meeting tonight in Las Vegas. The major two production companies, one's in Las Vegas, one's in L.A., and we have the networks such as History Channel, NBC, True TV, Woman's Network, Discovery Channel. They're all looking at it, and they're not looking at it for the first time. They're looking at it for the second and third time. So these people are vying for it, and that's a good thing. You're looking at a show that's going to be not just a fast throw-together, walk around with equipment, say, who's here. It's a very deep program that's going to be very integral. We're working with International Police Chief Kevin Smith, and he won't work with no psychics. And he watched me give the information to solve the Baseline Killers in Arizona. And once I did that, he jumped aboard right away. You know, it takes a lot to sway somebody. He served in Sarajevo and, you know, all those countries over there. And I'm just happy that he said yes to work with me. So we're going to have some very integral individuals on the program, and we're not going to phony anything up, one iota. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, I'm going to go after what I can, and I'm going to give the leads as much as I can. You know, that's what it is. I'm human first, although, you know, I got a good track record, but I'm still human first, and we're going to try, you know, get these bad guys, because not one more child should go without their parent or the parent go without their child. And that's just the way it is. You know, we all don't like to see these things on TV or, you know, the bad that's out there, read them in the newspaper or on the news. So we're all trying to do our part. And it takes a village. It really, truly does.
I know what I was going to say earlier was I imagine there's a few more like you that are out there helping the police kind of quietly under the radar, both for the law enforcement's sake and for their own reputations probably. But I'm also hoping that that you'll be able to pull some more of them out of the woodwork so they're at least known to law enforcement that they can go to these people and get some credible help when they need it. Because, you know, Lord knows there's too many of them going on for you to handle all by yourself, that's for sure. So I hope maybe sometime you can, you know, get a team of credible ones together to put a stop to some of this stuff that's going on before it happens.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, you have to look at it at a couple aspects. Some of them don't want to be known because they're fearful of their life. Others, you know, like myself, you know, I look at it this way. If I can find them and I can give the name of a murderer, in Kentucky, I actually gave the name of the murderer and where he lived and the location of the boy's body and what have you. That was all within an hour. And, you know, I've done it many times. So, you know, I don't fear them. So when you have fear in you, then you're scared to put yourself out there. But it's, in other words, what I'm trying to do is to make families aware that, you know, if I'm not scared to step out, I'm there for you. You know, call me. I will help you, and the police will help you, and we'll get this resolved. We'll try to find some reprieve here, and we'll do this. The other ones who are, you know, who want to remain anonymous, that's fine too. They're still doing their part, which is great. But then again, you know, the families out there who are out there don't know these other individuals because they remain anonymous. So that way I put myself out there so that the phone, and I swear it don't stop ringing. You know, I get calls from all over about, you know, my child, my mother, from as far as England and all around, you know, Australia. You try to facilitate everything you can, you know, try to help. It's just not enough hours in the day. And, you know, but you do your best. You truly do.
Now, Do you have to travel all around to do these cases, or some of them can you do sitting there right in your office just without having to travel?
Yeah, absolutely. Nancy Meyer's another one. She works on Psychic Detective television show. She's got 700 cases under her belt. You know, she does the same thing as what I do. We see a picture on the screen that's sent to us from someone, and we do the remote viewing, looking at the picture, getting the profiling down and what have you, and then we send it in. Sometimes I do go to scenes, and I've flown myself to different places in America and Canada. Never charged anybody in 18 years a red cent, never took an award amount of money at all. It all come out of my own pocket. You know, when the funds get down, I don't go anywhere. So then I just do it here. And then when I get a little bit of funds built up again, I fly to some place to help another family out. That's how it's done. You know, people must think it's a life of grandeur and you make a mint off of this. You don't. And, you know, it's a facilitate the next case. That's what you do. Then people ask you, well, is it a curse or is it heaven having this? Sometimes you think it's a curse because, you know, you get tired of seeing death all the time and, you know, speaking to grieving mothers and fathers and children who lost their mothers or fathers to crime. And you just wish that, you know, these people out there who are bad, you can shake them and you know, bring some sense to them. But, yeah, it's that's how we facilitate things.
Yeah, not having that gift, but just standing back and looking at it, it seems to me that you've been given something, you know, that few people are given, and it is a gift, and that you are given it for a purpose, and you know, I think you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and I can see where, yeah, you still have to eat too, so of course you do, you know, tours and shows and things like that to raise some money so you can keep the lights turned on and everything else, and like you said, to pay your way to go around to where people actually need you. So I don't think anybody can begrudge you that. That's for sure. I know you got this tour coming up. You're going to go all over the place. Did I read somewhere that you're actually going to tie in with some local cases that each stop with the local law enforcement or something? Was I reading that right?
Yep, that's right. We're stopping at several places. We have quite a few cases that are lined up already that will be coming on aboard, like in Sarnia, kicking off my hometown. I have a lady here. I'm going to read about her lost husband who, you know, we found. I'm going to show everybody how it was done. Then also in Toronto, we head that way in Ontario. I'm doing in Mississauga a case of a untimely death of a beautiful young lady who was found hung outside a police station about 50 feet from a police station, and they kind of washed it under as a suicide. But there's some evidence I came up with that if one really thought outside the box and looked at what was given to them, it turns into homicide instantly. There's a lot more to it. I can't really get into it. But I'm doing that live on stage, you know, and then people who have lost their loved ones as well to crime. Every tour stop I go to, if they bring pictures in of their loved one who has passed away from a murder, a senseless murder, I'm going to give them some evidence, you know, walk in the audience and give it as much as I can, as fast as I can, because there's only so much time in a show that we do these things. I will not be reading people of their loved one just because grandma died. You want to hear from your grandma. I'm keeping it really into perspective here and to a work ethic, and I'm going to do that for the people who have loved ones who have been, you know, murdered or are missing. I think that sets precedence over then, you know, you need to hear a message from grandma who passed away who was 90 years old. It just gives that, you know, that astute way of doing something to help people, and that's what we're doing on every tour stop.
So you're not going to do the John Edwards thing then. Okay.
and I don't give J name or H name. I give names. Like Dave Schrader said on his show, he goes, you know, he doesn't give initials. He gives straight names. And when he gave the names to the detective off air, the detective came back and goes, Robbie Thomas is extreme. And that's a quote, and it's in archive. You know, I gave the names of the two suspects directly who they were looking at. You know, it's that's what it's like. You know, you have it or you don't, and that's the way I look at it.
Exactly. There's a lot of them out there. Like I said earlier, the WWE version that don't have it. They just pretend they do and make it look good. But it's nice to see someone like you come along that really does. Now, got a few listeners here in the chat room. Can you just run by some of the cities that you're going to be in? If I remember right, I didn't see too many up here in the Northeast for those of us up here.
Is that kind of like giving me trouble or what?
Yeah, I'm here in little old Vermont, you know. I mean, nothing ever comes to this area.
Yes, we're. I'm going to run down the list here real quickly if I can scroll to it. There we are. We're hitting Los Angeles, California more than once. San Diego, San Francisco, Oakland, Sacramento, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Salt Lake City, Denver, Phoenix, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Houston, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts, New York, Philadelphia, Columbus, Ohio, Detroit, Fort Wayne, Louisville, Kentucky, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Chicago, Sioux City, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, St. Louis, Missouri, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there's probably going to be a few more cities added to that as we go.
Now, how long is this tour going to take? You're going to cram all these in? That sounds like at least 3 months worth there.
Yes, you know, in the way my manager in the entertainment company had me going at one point, it was like every night, and I said, "Look, I got to sleep sometime," but you know, it's amazing. But yeah, we've kind of figured it out. We're going to do it in the blocks of 4 and 5 and then have a week off, and 4 and 5 and a week off. So we're looking at possibly about 3 months, 4 months tour here.
Okay, so I guess I got to decide whether I want to go to Boston or New York City, seeing they're both about 3 hours from here. And they're both cities, which I really despise being in the city. So, boy, I'm going to have to really convince myself here. let's see. Anything else you got in the works? I know we mentioned the show. We mentioned the tour. Anything else you're playing with? Or?
Yeah, I got my fourth book coming out here very shortly called Paranormal Encounters. It illustrates Dead Whisper, the movie, behind the scenes, what happened to everybody, what they brought home with them, you know, from feelings to everything they went through. Also, it has the Sally House movie in there. Again, you know, a very descriptive, no holds barred, I tell you like it is, what it is. Somebody named it and dubbed it the Sally House, and there was never no Sally there. We did the research afterwards, and then a year before, during that year, and a year after, in that whole vicinity, and there was no Sally. So, you know, people in the folklores, they love that kind of stuff. They thrive on it. But, you know, you want the truth? The truth is in the book. And then I go back to, I think about 20 other places throughout North America. And I take you like Perryville, Battlefield, New Orleans, all around. It's all in the book. It comes out very shortly. Paranormal Encounters, keep an eye for that one. It's in the book cover design right now. And also there's a movie, a major motion picture, $10, $15 million major motion picture, that I've been asked to be in to play myself as a guardian angel. The premise of this movie is a gangster who breaks away from the police in Chicago, makes his way to Kentucky, falls in love with a horse breeder, a woman on the internet, and in the meantime, he tries to find himself, and I'm his conscience. And so, I get to play myself, and I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. The filming started already. I don't know when my part comes up. They'll notify me, but big cast of people. Bluegrass Run is the name of that movie. And, there's a lot more things in the mix here that we got going on. I've been asked for another television series as well, which is actually being pitched as well in Las Vegas tonight. So you never know. You might see me on two TV shows.
Well, you're just going here. Okay, first question, with the Paranormal Encounters book, should people watch both the Dead Whisper and the Sally House movie first before they read the book?
You know what? Either way, you watch the movie, you're going to get the outside glimpse of you guys looking, seeing what was caught on film, what we went through, the disembodied voices, you know, the timeline where There was time travel where we caught somebody's voice mimicking one live individual an hour and a half prior to him actually speaking that whole sentence. And it was on film. We couldn't place it. Like, where was this coming from? And then we went further into the film, and we found out that the guy, when we filmed him an hour and a half later, he spoke it. So the time continuum was just, it was amazing that was caught on film. Yeah, I would say watch the movies first and then get the book, and then you're going to get the behind the scenes where people were really freaked out, like all the cast and crew and what really truly happened.
Okay, so now where can we find both of these movies?
You go to, at present right now, my site has been occupied with the tour system, but we're going to have that all back up, and it's robbythomas.net.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I got all my notes here, because this is very intriguing, especially when you mentioned parts in the book about the battlefield, because I do Civil War reenacting too, so history and battlefields really excite me as well, so...
Oh, you know, I'll tell you a little story about Perryville. There's like, 4,000 men buried 2 feet, 3 feet deep. And it's a short battlefield there. And we arrived at nighttime. There is no light there whatsoever. They had some snapshots, and there was like a beam of light coming down from the heavens, and it was like going right to me. I was doing a spiritual release. And when they took the picture and they sent it to Ghost Radio Australia, John Ramsey's did reverse imagery on the film. You could see the skulls going up in the light. Like you said, you could see faces. It was amazing, you know, and we were in the battlefield. I remember Michael Esposito saying, look at the guys on the hill. And we looked up there, and there was four shadow people. And so we tried to make it up there as fast as we could. And, of course, they disappeared. They were gone. But then we did a zigzag motion coming down the battlefield, and I hit this divot. And when I fell in the divot, I was laughing. And as I was coming up, I was saying, do you hear them? They're running by us, Michael. I can feel them. And I was laughing, and I was getting up, and I got slapped in the face, and my hat went flying off. And Michael jumped about 10 feet, and all you hear Michael scream is, what the hell was that? It was all caught on EVP and film. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. Now, is that in one of the movies?
No, that was not in the movie. That was just a part in the book I wrote about what we did in Perryville Battlefield.
Oh, cool. Yeah, boy, you're going to keep me busy here between the movies and the book and watching for your other movie coming out here. We got about 4 minutes left here of this kind of abbreviated show, and I got to apologize again for the power going out here, which actually the power only went out for 2 seconds, but it was enough to took me 15 minutes to get the computer back up and running again. So definitely we'll have to have you back on again when your other movie comes out, or maybe after your tour is over, and you can relate some experiences from that for us or something.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. That'll be great. You know, and I want everybody to check out Can-Am. That's for Canadian American, the Canadian American Paranormal Conference in Sarnia, Ontario, coming this August 6th, 7th, and 8th. We got a lot of great people coming out, like Stanton Friedman, Project Blue Book in the 50s. He's coming out to show us all kinds of things from UFOs that have never been seen before. He'll be out there. We got Keith Age from the host of Spooked. We have Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International, and also she was on Paranormal State. We have Patrick Burns, who is going to co-star with me in the new Psychic Justice TV series. He'll be coming out. We have Aaron Houdini, the grandson of Harry Houdini. We have Michael Esposito, EVP researcher, the only EVP specialist to be signed to a record deal in the world for frequency and EVP. He'll be coming out. We have a great, great bunch of people. It's going to be a great convention. It's in Sarnia, Ontario. You can check it out at canamparacon.com.
Now, I haven't traveled out of the country in a while, except I went to Niagara Falls on my honeymoon years ago. Now, we need a passport now to get up there to see you?
Yeah, you need a passport, which is going to run you about $100, but you really don't need that to do land crossings. What you need is called a passport card. You go to your government agency, and you get a passport card. They're $40, and it's good for 5 years. You come across any land border area there, and it's fine. You need a passport if you're flying overseas.
Okay. Well, I don't fly. Even before 9/11, I still didn't fly. I flew once in the military, and the lightning hit the top of the plane 30 seconds off the ground, and I swore to God I'd never get in another one, and I haven't. So if I can't drive there, I'm not going. So, all right. 2 minutes left. I'm trying to think of what else we need to cover. You never did mention, is there a tentative air date for your new show, or is it still up in the air? Is the one that's actually going to start broadcasting?
Soon as somebody comes up and signs us on to a deal, the producers were saying we're immediately shooting in the field. So I think we're going to be shooting quite a few episodes before we start to throw it on air. And I can't really even give you an estimate at what time it'll be done, but we have all those shows and the cases lined up for the first season. So keep your eye on it. We'll be all over America.
All right. Well, definitely yes. As soon as you get an air date or something like that, you know, shoot me an email and I'll make sure I mention it here on the show.
Absolutely.
And before we go. Admission for your tour, you know that right off the top of your head?
Yeah, we're keeping everything low priced here, and we're also donating to like Child Find and Missing Exploited Children. So for $45, it's a gem. You come on in and you get to see special guest speakers as well, you know, throughout the United States, like Keith Age, Andy Brewer, Michael Esposito in their respective cities, and myself, and I'll be doing live cold cases. So, you know, that's a gem. $45 is not hard to come out and see a 3-hour show.
Definitely not. Nope, that's a great price. That sounds good to me. Even someone who hosts a radio show for free like me can afford that. So
there you are.
All right. I want to thank you for coming and for waiting around for me to get here. I want to thank everyone who sat in a chat room and patiently waited, going, I've got no sound. Do you have sound? No, I don't have sound. Anyways, it wasn't your fault, so I appreciate you sticking around and waiting for me. And we've been speaking with Robbie Thomas. And next week, taking the week off, but it looks like tentatively Scotty Roberts is going to be here February 6th. So keep watching the board for that. And I got Freddie Silva coming sometime in March. Bye, everybody.